We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business.
Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome back to Proof to Product. I'm recording this special edition episode with my financial planner, Mary Beth Storjahan, on Friday, April 3rd at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. Now, I asked Mary Beth to come on today to talk about the CARES Act and specifically how the different programs will benefit small businesses. There has been a sense of panic in several of my small business circles over the last few weeks about what type of support is available, which programs people should be considering, and just a higher level of anxiety as to what type of help will be available. So today we are talking about the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, which is also called EIDL, the Paycheck Protection Program, which is also called PPP, and the deferral of payment of payroll taxes. So I do want to mention here that this is an ever-evolving situation right now. So Mary Beth is sharing the current details with us as of today. I mean, things like even just the interest rates shifted from yesterday afternoon to yesterday evening. So I will include links and additional resources in our show notes to where you can get more information as this whole program evolves. But before we jump into this interview, I would just like to remind everyone to stay calm. I know that things feel stressful right now. There are a variety of options available to you, though, and there's lots of forms of aid available to all of us. So I encourage you to reach out to your CPAs, your financial planners, your tax advisors to figure out which of these plans are best for you and your specific circumstances. And if you do decide to apply for the PPP, apply with a bank that you're currently doing business with, because that's going to make it a lot easier for you. Okay, guys, I hope this is helpful. I hope you are all well. And remember, it's going to be okay.
Hey, Mary Beth, thank you so much for joining me on the fly today to talk about everything that's going on with the CARES Act and the resources available to small businesses. So do you want to start off with just a quick intro and then we'll lead into what we're talking about?
Okay, yes, I am Mary Beth Storjahan. I am founder of Workable Wealth, chief marketing officer and financial advisor at Advocates Wealth Partners. So I work with a ton of small business owners around the country. And so I thought this information might be helpful in the most current form as of today for us to be able to share with your audience.
Yeah, no, I'm excited we're doing this. I think there's so much misinformation out on the internet right now. And it's not even misinformation. It's just that things are rapidly changing. And therefore, it's hard to know what we need to know right now. So
it's not misinformation. It's just a lot. There's right. So much, and everybody has their own resources and their own PDFs. And I mean, even the stuff that I put together, and I'll share with you some links afterwards too, that you can post with this. Right. I pulled it from like 7 different sources. So
that'd be great.
That's me, you know, spending time digging into all of this. So it's just a lot that's out there right now.
Yeah. And there's just not clarity around what everybody needs because their circumstances are so different. So
exactly.
Let's dive into this. Let's start first with the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, the EIDL. What makes that unique? Why should people be thinking about it?
Okay. So there's two big loans out there right now. There's the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, and there is the Paycheck Protection Program that everybody is hearing a lot about. There's a ton of other things going on for small businesses, but these are the two that have people very spun up, I think, right now, and they're trying to like grasp for money. So the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, let me give you some like just high level details. And so if I'm not looking at you, it's because I'm reading off of these. So loans can be up to $2 million. The term is over 30 years. Interest rates are 3.75% for small businesses and 2.75% for nonprofits. And the first month's payment is deferred for a full year from the date of the loan, basically. So
okay.
The great thing that's coming along with these, with the EIDL, well, apparently is what we're calling these. Everything has an acronym these days.
Right.
EIDLs, I just got off another CPA webinar and they were calling it the EIDL. So, is that there is a $10,000 emergency cash grant that can come along with this. So this has been touted right. And this is actually open right now for application. So this has been touted over the past week. As something that people can look at. If you have an immediate cash need in your business, if you need a cash influx to keep things going, this is where the EIDL comes into play. And there's a box, basically you apply for the loan and there's a box in there that says that yes, you are applying for up to a $10,000 grant. So it doesn't guarantee that you're going to get the $10,000. You can get up to $10,000. This is great because basically even if you get the grant, and then your loan is denied, you still have that $10,000 that is like, you don't have to give that back. So that's the benefit right now. So for small businesses who are floundering, who have the immediate cash need, the EIDL actually makes a lot of sense. And so we've been having clients apply for that as an option. Like if you need the money, if you want to get started, like go for the EIDL. You can apply for that on the Small Business Administration website /disaster. It's a very easy, like honor system kind of thing. And they're having you up. What are they doing? They're doing, so loans are available 2 million, employers with employees, 500 employees or less.
Yeah.
And I believe it's just based on like your,
it's gross revenue. I filled it out last night and it was very quick to do. I even had children with me and I got it done in like 20 minutes. I think it was my gross revenue and then cost of goods sold. So for cost you guys listening, you will have cost of goods sold. It's all of the product cost that you
product, yeah. If you're, that's exactly, that's very specific for your audience. So if you have, so looking at your profit and loss report, it will ask you for cost of goods sold. That should ideally, if you're doing your bookkeeping right, should be easy for you to find.
Yeah.
So you'll fill in that number. There is a section that asks about nonprofit numbers. Like that's, you leave that part blank because it's not applicable to you if you're not a nonprofit. But the cost of goods sold is the important part. Mm-hmm. The other side of it though is, so there's supposed to be like a 3-day turnaround to get you the $10,000. And even the webinar I just attended, the applications that went in on Monday, it's Friday and they still haven't gotten their money. So this is the biggest thing, is like, this is so fluid and it's so just like ever changing. And I mean, a lot of this is like honor system. Like it's based on your credit score. It's based on you showing that you'll be able to pay it back eventually. And I mean, check a box and like everybody's going after the money. So in terms of them being able to actually vet this out, I do expect restrictions and like to tighten over time as they actually put parameters in place, but that's the economic, injury disaster loan, that's like a place to start. So for those who, and we'll talk about how they blend it, how it blends in with the other one in just a moment, but that's what that one is for.
Okay. So for, if you need, it's for immediate assistance, it's a grant for up to 10,000 if you're approved for up to 10,000, and the applications online, it's very simple. We'll include that in the details with this video so people can apply.
Exactly.
Let's move. That one feels a little more self-explanatory. The one that's a little more complex and a moving target is this Paycheck Protection Program, which everyone's calling PPP. So when can people apply? Let's like get into that one.
So the PPP is the Paycheck Protection Program. We're going to talk about borrowers. So I can go, I'm going to go high level, like rundown, and then we'll dig into everything. I actually want to make sure I have another tab open because we just in our company came out with new stuff as of an hour ago that's going live. So I want to make sure I have that open for me to look at as well for you. Okay. Eligible businesses. So let's go. Let's just run down the questions I think I sent you.
Yep. Let's do it.
So I can go over the highlights really fast of it and then we'll go through. So the Paycheck Protection Program basically provides loans on favorable terms and with repayment deferrals and limited forgiveness, which can be used during the period of February 15th, 2020 to June 30th, 2020. That is the covered period for basically for your business. Eligible businesses. When can I apply, right? That's where we want to start.
Yeah. I know that some businesses can start today, but there's some hoops that different lenders are making people jump through, which has made it very difficult.
Yes. So, okay. So these loans were supposed to open up today as of April 3rd. It's like what, 1:30 right now. I think one bank has opened and I don't expect this to actually smooth out for like a week or two. There's some problems that you and I have talked about offline. So as of April 3rd, small businesses and sole proprietorships can apply for and receive loans. And then starting April 10th, independent contractors and self-employed individuals can apply, which is funny because like self-employed, sole proprietorship, where are the lines drawn?
It's pretty blurry for sure.
It's very blurry for that. And what's going on is like, there's not enough parameters in place. Like banks aren't clear, like the application that was put out with the program, like as the application that would be used is now marked sample because a lot of banks can't use these applications as they're figuring out, okay, what information do we need? What risks are we taking? They're realizing the information they want is left off these applications. And so you'll find where there has been applications that have been pushed out or sample applications. Some banks might use their own. There should be a standard one that's going to get revised in the next week, but they're still working things out. So the intention was that some banks were supposed to start offering these loans today. Mm-hmm. We can just address that right off the bat before we can go into parameters. There's money available. This is meant to help you cover payroll, basically, these loans. What's happening, so even Bank of America, we were talking about today. Yeah. Bank of America, you find out that they're offering the loans if you have a business bank account with them, business checking, savings, and you also have business debt with them. So if you have a business credit or business line of credit, that's who they are offering these loans to. Yeah. So if you don't have a credit card with them or a line of credit, even though you bank with them, like, you're not in line. Yeah.
That's me. I was denied.
Yeah. So, and we're finding this. So what's happening, like, the interest rate is changing as well. So it came out originally, I think the interest rate was going to be up to 4% was in the guidelines. There was more, a revised guidelines issued, I think, on Monday this week. What day is it? Friday. Monday mm-hmm. this week. And it was actually 0.5% was going to be the interest. Yeah. As of yesterday evening, the interest rate is at 1%.
Right.
So the issue with this, right? So the interest is 1%, and the government's at these banks need to have incentive to give these loans, right?
Right.
So 0.5% interest for a bank to give somebody money and only earn 0.5% interest on it. Like, there's not much incentive for them, right? So getting 1% is a step up, but that's what we're kind of seeing in our end at Abacus as well. It's like, there's not going to be a lot of incentive there for these banks. And if they are doing it, they're stepping up for their top clients and their top mm-hmm. customers, right? The people who bank with them. So if you don't bank with a bank already and you're trying to get a loan only from them, you're basically going to be put in line. And we don't know, like, when that line's going to ease up. And that's the stuff that's coming out right now that we're finding as we dig in. So the issues are, like, I mean, Chase isn't open as of right now. Wells Fargo, I believe, isn't accepting applications as of right now. So, and even, you know, there's kind of a dash on the money right now because basically applications are open until June 30th, mm-hmm. but it's limited funds. I think it's 349 billion.
Just limited.
Seems crazy.
No, but there's a lot of people that need the help. And
there's
so
a lot of people that need the help
quickly. Yes.
And we'll go quickly. And so when it's gone, it's gone. But the issue is, you could also be, if you're rushing to get your application and in the front of the line and banks don't have their stuff sorted out, you also could just be like kind of like a guinea pig in all of it. And your application could fail because they don't have their stuff figured out yet.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we're talking about at Abacus with business owners is to maybe give it a week or two, let some of the banks open up, let them get their stuff sorted out, and then, you know, get in line if it's the bank that you can apply through and you have that figured out.
I appreciate you saying that because I feel from my home office and the conversations I'm having with different clients and colleagues, like, there's a panic happening. There's a panic of, like, I got to get first in line. I got to get access to this. I got to get my stuff in. Even from people who feel a little bit financially stable, they still feel this rush of, well, I need it because I need the cushion or whatever it might be. So for you to say, you know what, hold, take a pause, take a deep breath. Let's let people get their ducks in a row before we start applying. I appreciate you saying that because it lowers the freak out level.
The stress level. Yeah. So let's go through it. I know I gave you a list of things and I'll just run through them as well. And we can kind of just have a conversation. So April 3rd, things are supposed to be open today. We expect it to maybe be like another week or so before regulators figure their stuff out. The application deadline to apply for it is going to be June 30th, 2020. So that's basically like, you want to get in sooner rather than later. Don't be waiting till like May, but give it a week or two for things to get sorted out.
Okay.
You're going to apply through this basically through your bank. You're going to apply basically through any federally insured depository institution, federally insured credit union, anybody that's approved to participate in the program through the U.S. Small Business Administration.
Okay.
If you don't have somewhere, the Small Business Administration also has a lender match on their website. So you can actually go through the list if you don't know where to start. And I'll give you some of those links and the follow-up resources that you can post as well.
That'd be great.
But the number one thing, again, like I mentioned, that we're seeing is you want to start with your own bank, start with your own banker, because banks are going to be prioritizing their own customers and processing applications. And so you want to just start there to avoid delays if you can. So, and then we have the small business owner, we have the lender match tool. You can call your local small business development center or the women's business center as well. So those are some links to look into.
Okay. I have a quick question, which I don't know if you want to open this to questions yet, or if you want to keep trucking.
We're talking. So I can answer your questions.
Okay. True. I know. So what if there are people that are running their business out of personal accounts? Like they don't have a business checking account or they don't have their profit and loss statements as tight as they should. I mean, obviously lesson learned now, but are there things they can do to still be able to apply for this stuff if they don't?
So we have the sole prop. Let me actually scroll. So basically, one of the questions I was actually just about to get to was like independent contractors, gig economy workers. It's almost what this is. If you have a tax ID number for your business and you've been running it all through your personal, that's not good because it's not supposed to be commingled. And you're going to need to have clean reports to get loans. It's the same way you have to clean up your stuff, your taxes. You'll have to clean it up for this to get your loan approved as well.
Okay.
If, however, you're an independent contractor, like somebody maybe that works for you on your team or your gig economy, like those people are qualified as well. And so that's what their paperwork for proving their income is going to be, like 1099s, the income and expense report, if they have one from sole prop, payroll processor records. And then if you don't have any of that, you can't actually use your bank records. So you basically just have to be able to demonstrate. So if you're running things from your business and you don't have it from your personal account, you don't have it cleaned up, you basically have to start to clean it up like the same way you would have for your taxes. So you can claim, like, so what you need to know basically is what's your net income? Like what's the net, and you'd be able to prove. You can't say like, oh, I net $5,000 a month and not have anything to back it up. So you need to be able to show that. And that's the, go ahead.
I just want to reiterate, I think this is a smaller percentage of my community, but I do know that there are people that are still in that startup mode and they have commingled things and they don't have clear records of things. So if any, there was a reason to really make sure that your business was set up properly and you have the right accounts and things like this, I just want to use this as a moment to teach and remind people, like, let's take care of that.
Yes. So. And I'm just assuming most of your audience like qualifies, right? 500 employees or less.
Yeah.
So
that's us.
Yeah. Probably maybe different area. So we have that. And then the other thing I want to mention, so that's like the sole prop or independent contractor. You're working on your own LLCs. So let's talk about LLCs versus S corp ownership, because that's the other thing. So as a financial planner and like when you're working with your tax professionals, I think one of the things we always talk about is like, oh, like having your salary lower so you can increase your distributions to yourself. If you're on payroll and an S corp, you're supposed to be on payroll.
Yep.
We've talked about like having a lower salary so you can increase distributions. That kind of lowers what you have to pay into Social Security and like your taxes, your self-employment taxes. This is the time that it's going to bite you in terms of the amount that you can qualify for in a loan. So if you have, let's say, payroll of $50,000, for example, and then you also take $25,000 in distributions from your company, that doesn't count for anything. So the way your loan is calculated, you can basically qualify for up to, where did it go? It's 2.5 times your 250%, 2.5 times your average monthly payroll expenses. So
that would be the $50,000 only, not the later disbursements. And so that's where we get into a pickle. Okay.
It's a pickle. It just is what it is. So basically you're at 2.5, you'd qualify for a loan of $10,400.
In like
you qualify for that loan to be forgiven. That's the amount that would be forgiven is a 10,000. Like that's the loan. And that's what you could have forgiven. Assuming you use it for payroll taxes.
So that's for an S corp. What about like single member LLCs that may or may not be on payroll?
Single member LLCs, you're using your net income from the business. So basically you're not going to have payroll. It's going to be looking at that bottom net income number each month from your payroll expenses or from your profit and loss report, I mean, and that's what you're going to work off of.
Okay.
The interesting thing that is coming into play is the term. So there's been, the 12-month period. So there's talk of, is this looking back to 2019 or is this looking back, in the past 12 months?
Right.
So I've heard both. As of right now, though, I think banks are looking from April 1st, 2019 to March 31st of 2020. So that's like the previous 12-month period. That's what they're looking at in terms of calculating.
Okay, that's good to know too, because if you haven't done your March books yet, your bookkeeping, then you need to get that done before you apply for this. Okay,
that's helpful. Yeah. So that's coming up as well. So just know it's only your payroll. And when you're thinking about your payroll, the other thing that is interesting for your audience is that it does not include contractors.
Yeah, right? Let's dive into that.
Payroll.
We've had this conversation in the group and lots of varying information. Okay, so it does not include contractors. So
last night with clear guidance that does not include anybody that you are 1099, like that you are personally paying as a contractor. So if you have 5 contractors that work for you, doesn't count the amount that you can get for a loan, only payroll.
Okay. So in our world, that would be your sales reps that are contractors, essentially getting 1099s. That might be somebody that works on your website or freelancers, that just anyone that's a 1099 would not be included in this.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
And then the other thing though, for what's included in payroll costs. So basically for payroll costs, you can do salary, wages, commissions, or tips capped at $100,000 on an annualized basis for each employee. So if you're paying yourself $150,000 from your business, you can only include or apply for a loan of up to $100,000 of those wages.
Okay.
So if you have somebody else that's making 150 or 200, like only $100,000 of that payroll can be included. And the payroll cost thing that's gone back and forth, payroll cost includes the salary, wages, commissions, and tips, employee benefits, including vacation, parental family leave, group health care benefits, state and local taxes as well. So those are all things that are included in the payroll costs. Again, independent contractors or not, that guidance came out like last night to clarify.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense then. And I think we covered S-Corp, LLCs, and then those that are kind of sole proprietors. So that should cover everyone. And then the contractor question was a big one. Okay, so we talked about how large loans can be, and because that's based on these numbers we just discussed. What about the forgiveness of things? Like how much of this can be forgiven?
Okay, so let's see. So basically, you're eligible for loan forgiveness equal to the amount that you spent during 8 weeks following the origination date of the loan, basically. So you and that's assuming that you spend the funds on payroll costs. So
okay.
It's like making under $100,000, rent, utilities, interest on mortgage, basically. So that's basically the areas that you can spend your money. The whole incentive of this payroll protection program is that you keep people employed. Like, right. So that's the whole incentive is like, we want people still to earn their income. They're trying to incentivize you to keep your team members at the same rate. So if you have already cut people from your team, if you had to close your brick and mortar shop, you've cut your salary, that actually impacts your ability to receive forgiveness. So to get the full forgiveness, a business must maintain the same number of employees from February 15, 2020 to June 30th, 2020. And then business basically worker, if you've already laid off, basically, if you already laid somebody off, they can be rehired by 6/30 to satisfy, but this is going to start to get prorated. And you also can't reduce wages for any employee making less than $100,000 per year in more than 25%. Otherwise, again, like stuff gets reduced.
Let me understand this correctly, because a lot of our people have brick and mortar shops and they had to close because of shelter in place orders. And so they either lowered the salary in which they were paying people, or they, you know, had to like lay people off temporarily with the intent to bring them back. So you're saying that they can still bring them back and they can still continue to pay them if they're approved for this, but it would be a prorated amount that would be forgiven. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why you definitely want to work with your CPA for the amount. So this is the incentive for you to hire people back. And to be honest, also, whether you hire the people back or not, like these loans are, it's 1% is the interest rate on the loans, which is it's cheap money at this point in time. So if you can apply and get it and even just keep the money in a separate account and like if you use it, great. If you don't use it, don't get forgiveness, you pay it back. And it's low cost for you to have that emergency cushion in place right now. So one way or another, try to apply for it to get the money. But yeah, that's the biggest thing is if you've already closed for the brick and mortars, incentive to hire people back or to basically reinstate their income to reduce it by 20%, 25%, depending on what you've reduced by. That's what you want to try and figure out. And your CPA should definitely, your CPA should be able to crunch numbers for you to give you more clear guidance.
Definitely what your specific circumstances are. Yeah. Everyone's circumstances are so different. What if you're still under shelter in place orders and you can't open up your store, for example, can you still bring these people back and pay them salaries and then, you know, have them do other types of virtual work or things that are kind of outside their original scope of work that you hired them for?
I think you can bring people back to do the work. The other thing that you might have, so basically there's an employee retention credit. And I think this is the one that's not getting as much news. It probably would be really good for your people to dig into also if they have brick and mortar.
Okay.
So I believe I don't know it as well, but I know. So the business must have existed in 2020 and must have had operations fully or partially suspended due to orders from an appropriate governmental authority. So your shelter in place. Gross revenues have to be less than 50% of gross revenues from the same quarter last year. And there is an employee credit. So basically the credit stays in place until gross revenues exceed 80% of revenue from the same quarter last year. The actual benefit, if you qualify, is worth up to 50% of the qualified wages paid to each employee and gets applied as a credit to employment taxes. Max benefit is $10,000 per employee per quarter. So, I mean, if you have brick and mortar people that have been forced to close, have them talk with their CPAs as well about the the employee retention credit is different than the payroll protection program, and figure out which one it's makes the most sense for them.
Okay. Yes. And can I, you will give me a copy of your like sheet that you're reading from, and like, so we can share it with people that want to dig deeper into this.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, just making sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
So we'll do, so that's the other one to look at as well.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go back.
Let's go back to PPP.
Yeah. And basically for interest on mortgages, rent, utilities, all of these services had to have began before February 15th. Like, so you're not trying to like do anything fraudulent here, obviously.
No.
Which nobody is, but like, don't like go get internet set up and then like, you have to show that these things were in service beforehand.
Yeah.
The whole goal of these loans is not to help you to expand your business, but to help you sustain your business. So keeping that in mind. The other thing to keep in mind is you can apply for both the EIDL loan and the PPP loan. So let's talk. That was the one thing.
Yeah,
I wanted to
let's talk about
so
that, because there's been some misinformation even within my family. My dad's like, yeah, you can't do both. I'm like, you can do both. Oh, family of entrepreneurs.
So I know. So you can do both. So basically, with the if you get the EIDL and you get the $10,000 grant, and you, that's the money, and you're also applying for the payroll protection program. I'm going to like mess up these acronyms at some point.
No.
I'm like, you get for the forgiveness, basically. So let's say you make $100,000 and you get the $10,000 grant from EIDL, and then you apply for 21,000, whatever that is, 2.5, you know, times for through the payroll protection program. If you already get 10,000 forgiven through EIDL, that impacts what you're going to have forgiven through PPP. You can only have like that full amount forgiven, basically. Right. So you have 10,000 forgiven, and then you have like, that's going to deduct from the 21,000 that you have from PPP, and you will need to pay back the like extra 11, you know, what is that?
Extra 10,000.
$10,000 actually over here. Yeah, $10,000 over here. So that's the thing to keep in mind, is basically offsets what you can have forgiven through the PPP program if you apply for the EIDL as well.
Okay.
But people are being, I know CPAs that, you know, ones we talk to are encouraging you to apply for both.
Yeah.
Just to get access to the money. And if anything, you keep it in a separate account. You don't need it. Even if you apply for the EIDL loan, you get the grant, and then you can get denied. You can get denied the whole loan, and you have that $10,000 there.
Yeah.
So doing both is probably the best way to like cushion yourself at this point in time.
Is there one that needs to come before the other?
No, the EIDL is the only one that's kind of like up and running right now, though, that you can actually apply for. So, yeah. I mean, it would just make sense. That one opened, I think, as of March 30th. So that's, nothing needs to come before the other. If you don't need the money, you know, then I feel like everybody has, one of the things you have to certify for the loans that you have economic uncertainty. And I feel like the whole world has economic uncertainty.
Yeah, it's quite big.
This one time. Yeah, check the box.
Well, I'm and sure. Everyone's level of uncertainty is different too. So
yeah. Yeah. So basically, and then the other thing I'm talking about, so payroll costs are capped at $100,000 annualized. 8-week period may be applied to any the 8 weeks that you're covering. Mm-hmm. So you could get your loan April 15th if things were super fast. And then it would basically, you could say, actually, I want it to cover May 1st through June 30th. Like, so you can kind of, it's any applied to any time frame between February 15th, 2020 and June 30th. So it's an 8-week period in between any time of that. And then the seasonal business expenses, I don't know if you have seasonal people.
Sometimes.
Seasonal businesses expenses will be measured using a 12-week period beginning February 15th, 2019 or March 1st, 2019, whichever like the company can choose, basically. So that's the other thing if they're seasonal.
Okay. That's helpful.
Yeah.
What do you think about if people do receive this money, should they be keeping it in a separate bank a separate bank account? So then it keeps the accounting clean with it.
Yes. So two things. Okay. So you can't double dip for purposes of the loan. So while you can apply for EIDL and PPP, you can't commingle. So if you're using the PPP for payroll, you can't use EIDL funds to also pay for payroll. You want to use those funds to pay for like rent or utilities or other things. So you don't want to double dip you can't get two loans for the same thing purpose.
Gotcha.
So you want to keep those clean. And I was just on a webinar with a CPA, and they were talking about like, ideally, like type A personality, you should have a separate account for them and keep the money and be able to track your receipts. You can't get into a bank to actually open an account right now. So unless you can.
Small detail.
Small detail. So unless you can open your accounts online, it's just keeping receipts. But ideally, my recommendation for clients is if you get the loan, keep it in a separate account, mm-hmm. keep record of if you need to use it or not, and what your payments are going to, and that's it. So if you do get it, separate accounts.
And you can do those online if you already have an account set up at a bank.
Yeah, you can open another account online. It's true. Yeah. Easy.
It's just not going to be easy to go to a new bank at this point for anything.
Yeah, exactly. So interest rate is 1%. And let's not, we're talking about these loans and like the frame of forgiveness as well. And that's why everybody's panicking. It's like free money. We're like, either way, it's money and it's 1%. So if you pay it back, like, let's talk about if you actually get the loan and then you use it, you need to pay it back.
The interest rate is so low.
Which is great. I think a lot of people like, you know, can use it. And that's the whole point. So all payments are deferred for 6 months.
Okay.
But interest does accrue during that 6 month period. So you don't need to start paying on it for 6 months. And the repayment timeframe is 2 years.
Okay.
So you have 2 years to basically pay it back. But you can pay it back early. So there's no prepayment penalty either. Mm-hmm. You pay it back early. One of the questions that I saw earlier somewhere was, do I need to like shop around? Like, should I be looking some, like there's no shopping around for a loan mm-hmm. because the terms are actually the same no matter where you go. And I mean, cause there's also loan brokers that are out there right now as well that can help you to possibly secure a loan. You want to make sure like that you're not, that they're not collecting any fees from you, any fees that any banker or a CPA or anybody who's helping you complete stuff that might have fees involved. Those should be coming from the bank, the lender, like that's where they're going to get compensated. Like you shouldn't have to be paying any fees to get these loans in place.
Absolutely. Everyone listening, just go to your bank that you're already working with, where you have your business account set up. Start there. If for some reason you hit a speed bump, like I have at Bank of America, then you can work towards a plan B or C, but like just start with the banks you're already working with.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to personally guarantee the loan. You don't need to pledge any collateral for the loan. Let's talk about some things you do need to certify though. You need to certify current economic uncertainty makes the loan necessary to support your ongoing operations.
Mm-hmm. That's so just a checkbox.
Economic uncertainty is high. Necessity is like, you know, that makes it necessary. So the necessity part is like the judgment call, right? This is where it's like, mm-hmm. everybody's using their moral code over here. So it depends on where you fall on the spectrum.
Yeah.
You have to certify that in good faith that your funds will be used to retain workers and maintain payroll or to make mortgage lease utility payments. That you haven't received another loan under this program. Yeah, you have to provide documentation that verifies the number of full-time people. So having your payroll type stuff, if you have team members on payroll, you'll need to provide that documentation to the lender to verify what you've paid. And then the other thing, I think the only other big thing to keep in mind, we talked about combining, is like due to the high subscription, it's basically anticipated that no more than 25% of the forgiven amount will be for non-payroll costs. So when we're talking about the mortgage interest or your rent or utilities, no more than 25% of that can actually, like it needs to be, most of it is again, intended to go towards payroll. So 75% of that money that you're taking, payroll, 25% could go towards these other areas as well.
Okay. So based upon everything you've said, which my mind is spinning because it was great information. It's a lot.
And no slides, by the way. Sorry. So I'll definitely.
No worries. No.
It might be a Google Doc that you're linking to at this point because that's just.
We will. We'll link out to resources where people can dig into this further and some articles. And we do in my alumni group have like a thread going with different resources that are available to help people navigate this. But one of the things you said is, you know, this is the PPP is more for payroll, keeping your team in place, all of that. The EIDL, maybe use that for other things like your rent or just the other ongoing maintenance utility things that we need so that you're not double dipping in those. I want to stress that a little bit more.
Correct.
It's important.
Yeah. And like the EIDLs have always been around. That's the biggest thing. They're not like new loans. It's just, you know, there's a pandemic and this is the first time a pandemic has actually been like categorized as a disaster, which opened up the use of these funds.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So in terms of initial steps, if people need help and support, they can apply for the EIDL now. They can start to get their things together for PPP, but that will require them running some more numbers and pulling different reports and having those ducks in a row. They might want to give it a week or so just to see, or at least communicate with their bank to see what their bank's process is. They've got options. I guess I want to finish this off by saying there are options. We don't need to panic. There are ways. I know this is a very stressful situation for many small business owners, but there are options available. So
yeah. And I don't know if you've talked, I don't know if we talked about in general, taking a step back. So we like jumped right into these, but in general, I'm sure you're talking to everybody about this, like reevaluating your spending plan for the year, your budget, the things you're investing in. Like I know like through our industry, it's like marketing, like if you have existing clients, like marketing is basically on hold at this point in time. You nurture your existing audience, you serve them, you serve your existing clientele if you can, trying to nurture that, trying to figure out areas that you can cut.
Yep.
And then looking at other, you know, other areas. I know laying people off, but there's also, so sorry, if you don't need to take the loans and you do happen to be one of those people who's like, okay, I'm okay, there's another thing that's in place that's deferral of payment of payroll taxes. Mm-hmm. So you can actually defer some of your Social Security taxes from the employer side. So self-employed, we pay two sides. But you're basically able to defer payroll taxes from the date of enactment of the CARES Act at the end of the year, with the first half being paid at the end of 2021 and the second half being paid at the end of 2022. So yeah. If you don't apply for a loan, that's like 6.2% of whatever you'd be paying for people that you could actually defer paying as well.
Yeah.
But there's, in terms of panic, I think this is new, it's evolving, it's fluid. And I mean, I'm a financial planner and I've been trying to stay up to date on this. Like, it's my job, right? And so for the everyday consumer and small business owner, it's crazy. So just use, like, leverage your network, leverage like the bank that you work with, ask them for recommendations. Don't be afraid to be aggressive and ask questions.
Yep.
But also, you know, like, take care of yourselves, you know, so like put your own mask on first when you're thinking about those things. We have team members, we have those things, but there's also like, the goal is for you to still be able to have a business around to help people on the other side of this. Absolutely. So I think that's the biggest thing too, that I see, especially as women and business owners, is we do want to take care of everybody, sometimes to our detriment. So, yeah. So knowing that you have to do, if you have to make tough decisions, that's part of this. And you're still like a strong leader. Like, sometimes those tough decisions are what makes you a strong leader. And it's okay to like put on your own safety vest first, safety mask, vest, all of it. Everything both. At this point in time, the masks actually are important right now.
The masks are. So thank you for saying that, because it's true. I think right now, you know, my community in particular, they're feeling a wide range. Everyone is feeling a wide range of emotions right now. I also think people have been dealing with this for varying degrees of time. You know, here my family's been locked down for 3 weeks already, whereas some states have just gone into shelter in place. And so the amount of like stress and grief and anxiety, like, it's varied across the board because, well, one, it just takes us all different times to process, but then two, it's hitting our businesses in different ways and different timing. And so remembering that, you know, we do need to take care of ourselves first, our families first, our personal lives first, and then in conjunction with that, our businesses. And, you know, we do want to be loyal to our team and make sure that we're supporting the people that we support, our vendors and people that we buy supplies from. But at the same time, we need to really be conservative right now in right. what we're doing.
Yeah. And the big thing we're talking about, just internally in Abacus as well, is like, this is, you know, there's like the depression, like basically everything is being put on hold, right? Like, mm-hmm. and as humans, like, we have infinite needs, right? We have needs that, I mean, hello, how many of us are like going crazy without like not being able to go to like Hobby Lobby? Apparently that's like a big thing in the news, but you know, but we have needs, and those needs will continue, like we'll continue to be able to fulfill them. And so this is a temporary hold, and this will, it'll open back up again. I mean, yeah. I'm anticipating it'll be like, you know, 12 to 18 months of things that they'll, you know, that'll start to pan out and we'll figure out, but this is not a forever situation. And that's the biggest thing to keep in mind, is this is a right now situation. And so you're navigating right now, but over the long term, things will return. And, yeah. and so it's just being able to position yourself and think through that as well. This is temporary.
Yeah, it's all temporary. And we need to make the best decisions for ourselves and our businesses for the situation and circumstances that we're dealing with right now.
Right.
So, all right, Mary Beth, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for sharing this with us. We'll include, for everyone watching on the video and everyone listening on the podcast, we will include all the different resources in the show notes and the links to this video. But thank you for taking time out of your very hectic Friday to update us on the current status of the CARES Act and just for supporting small businesses and women in business the way you do. So thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Okay, friends, I know that was a lot of detailed information in a short amount of time. So again, check our show notes for additional resources to help you as this develops. Also, be sure to check in with your tax accountant, your CPA, your financial advisors to decide which programs are the best fit for your specific circumstances. I will say that I'm relieved that there are options available for all of us, particularly those with brick and mortar shops or teams that they're supporting. So just remember, friends, stay well. And I want to reiterate what Mary Beth said about taking care of yourself. You need to put your own mask on before you can support others. And that goes for within our business as well as our personal lives. So stay well.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to proof2product.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.